I don't care about radiation. I'm going to get the girl I love. I'm not scared of no mutations.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymee Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, nuclear disaster. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hey there. Did you just say nuclear disasters or nuclear disasters?
Nuclear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So nuclear is the scientific pronunciation. But we recognize several politicians who would say nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And I thought about maybe talking a little bit more about that.
Yes.
But actually, I think I'll save it, and maybe we'll do a whole episode on linguistic justice.
Okay. Were you going to at least tell us what it means, that nuclear?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nuclear is of or pertaining to the nucleus.
Okay.
And nucleus comes from Latin, which actually means little nut. A kernel or a little nut. And in the late 1700s, that Latin root kind of took on the scientific meaning in the way that we use it today, meaning like a central mass of something about which other things cluster, like we talk about the nucleus of a cell.
Yes.
Or the nucleus of an atom splitting. You know, that's where the nuclear comes from. We have like electrons and protons and neutrons.
The little nut of the atom.
Mm-hmm. Right, the little nut or the kernel or the central mass
the kernel
of an atom.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. Okay. All right. So let's get started, shall we?
Yeah.
What do you think was worse, Chernobyl or Japan's Fukushima?
Well, I'm just looking at, or listening to the question, and you didn't say Russia's Chernobyl.
So,
and you said Japan's Fukushima. I think you just answered your own question.
I did.
That there's more like knowledge, there's more awareness of Chernobyl. There's a whole Netflix scripted TV show about Chernobyl.
Yeah.
So just going off of that, I'm going to guess Chernobyl. I couldn't tell you anything about like the radiation levels or anything, but my guess off the top of my head is Chernobyl.
Yeah. And I guess the reason I didn't say Russia's, well, it's actually Ukraine's Chernobyl because it was in the Ukraine.
Whoops.
Well, but it's Russia. It was the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's because the HBO limited series TV show, it was very good. So I would encourage anybody to watch it. But yes, it was Chernobyl on April 26th, 1986.
Ching.
The reactor of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, which was about 65 miles north of Kyiv, Ukraine, suffered a catastrophic meltdown caused by a flawed reactor and human error. So Chernobyl, the television show actually goes a lot into that. It was the worst nuclear disaster in history, releasing more than 400 times as much radioactive material as the Hiroshima atomic bomb.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I didn't realize that, but like, I would think, an atomic bomb dropping would be worse than Chernobyl, but I did not realize that.
Yeah, so what happened is that this lethal cloud of radioactive material gathered over the nearby town of Pripyat, which was not evacuated until 36 hours after the explosion. And this cloud is just like, kind of churning over Europe. Right after the event, 32 people died as a result of ARS, which is acute radiation sickness. Mm. And those were, I think, almost all firefighters trying to put out the fire because on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then dozens more suffered radiation burns. And the town of Pripyat was actually built for the workers at this facility.
So kind of like the old Appalachian coal camps.
Exactly.
Just the town built to feed the coal mines workers. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I mean, in a couple of documentaries that you can watch about Chernobyl, they actually talk about the fact that it was a privileged and preferred place to live because they had a lot of amenities. So it was kind of this nice little town. Mm. Have you seen the abandoned photos of the amusement park rides, for example, of Chernobyl?
No.
Okay, those are good. So you should look at them sometime. But anyway, back to the point.
Mm-hmm.
So the radiation that escaped into the atmosphere contaminated millions of acres of forest and farmland. And hundreds of thousands of people had to relocate, and it is still a deserted exclusion zone.
Mm.
So in 2000, the last working reactors at Chernobyl were shut down and the plant was officially closed.
Wait, so like these reactors kept pumping for decades
after there's a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just turn stuff off. So yeah, there were a lot of, I don't want to get into all of the like mm-hmm. sciencey stuff behind it, but mm-hmm. let's just say, the plant, the town, the whole area was done in mm-hmm. 1986, right?
Yeah.
But children were affected the most with about 3,000 cases of thyroid cancer reported and registered in the 1990s in children under the age of 14, primarily in the Ukraine and Belarus. Yeah. So these were the areas mm-hmm. that, you know, got most of that radioactive cloud.
Yeah.
So, Dennis Fogaroos, I think is how you say his name. I didn't actually look up how to say it. It's either Fogaroos mm-hmm. or Fogaroos, but anyway.
What about foie gras?
No, that's not it.
Okay.
No.
Well, I'll just try.
This was his article in The Conversation, and if he ever listens to this, I'm really sorry if I said your name incorrectly, but I have a feeling that he's never going to know. So, he's a geologist, and he was talking about nuclear forensics, and he was introducing this as an area of study. So he kind of just, to break it down, what happened is that the reactor got really hot.
Technical scientific language there, of course.
Yes, we're breaking it down.
It got real hot.
It got real hot.
Real quick.
Got real hot, caused a fire, melted the fuel rods into what he called a hellish molten soup, which I love that. Yeah. So this hellish molten soup is actually called corium, and it's one of the most dangerous substances on Earth. And nearby radiation exposure of this corium kills within minutes.
Yikes.
So the corium at Chernobyl got up to 2,600 degrees Celsius, which Dennis compared to temps from like natural volcano lava, which are only between 500 and 1,000 degrees Celsius. So, of course, the hellish molten soup destroyed and dissolved everything in its path, and it transformed water into radioactive steam.
Gosh.
it sounds bad because it is bad. So it's like eating everything in its path, but eventually it cannot sustain its liquid form. And what it did was solidified into this shape of this giant elephant's foot, which is what he was studying. Studying the aftermath of nuclear incidents is a kind of detective work called nuclear forensics. Nuclear power plant reactor meltdowns have happened only 3 times in history: at Chernobyl, at Three Mile Island in the USA in 1979, and at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi in 2011. So modern nuclear power reactors have incorporated more safety features to avoid another Chernobyl meltdown. With nuclear forensics, you can measure the exact composition of uranium and other radioactive elements found at the site of an incident, which can help you understand accidents, but also, you know, just improve safety. So nuclear forensics is also helpful in controlling nuclear facilities overseen by the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the IAEA. And they promote the safe, secure, and peaceful use of nuclear technologies.
The peaceful use of we've just talked about, like hellish molten soup.
So those are not peaceful uses of nuclear technologies, obviously. There are over 400 nuclear reactors around the world, providing approximately 10% of the world's electricity. They are considered more stable and environmentally friendly than fossil fuels, except when things go wrong, of course.
When things go wrong, they go really wrong.
They do. Instead of doing our time machine noise, because we're actually fast forwarding from the 1950s to the 1970s energy crisis in the U.S., and we're at the 1979 disaster at Three Mile Island in Harrisburg, not Harrisonburg, which is where we are.
Harrisburg,
PA. Yes, Pennsylvania. This was a new facility that aimed to create energy cheaper and more efficiently. Again, this is the 1970s energy crisis, so a lot of countries are trying to look for alternatives to fossil fuels. The accident started when a pressure valve in one of the reactors failed to close, allowing cooling water contaminated with radiation to drain into adjoining buildings. Control room operators panicked. This also happened with Chernobyl. People made errors. They made critical errors that made the problem worse instead of better. So they struggled to contain the crisis. And by early morning, the core had heated to over 4,000 degrees, which is just short of 1,000 degrees of it having being like an actual meltdown. Yeah. So it didn't have the catastrophic meltdown that Chernobyl did, but it was close.
Close.
Mm-hmm. Radioactive steam poured into 4 counties within days, and the governor ordered the evacuation of pregnant women and small children from the area. Mm-hmm. And although no official deaths or injuries were reported, there has been an ongoing controversy over whether the radiation released at Three Mile Island led to increased cancer and infant mortality rates in the region.
Mm-hmm. So, I had heard about Three Mile Island, but only because like there was this like 2 guys who used to do like parodies of country songs. And they did one on Three Mile Island. There's this old country song that's like called Wolverton Mountain. And it's like, you know, there's this guy lives up on Wolverton Mountain and I'm in love with his daughter, but he's like really mean. So I'm going up there to get my wife, but I have to watch out for this guy.
Okay.
So they did one that was called like, I'm going up to Three Mile Island. I don't care about radiation. I'm going to get the girl I love. I'm not scared of no mutations. And then there's one like when you go to the baseball park, they turn out the lights at night because the home team glows in the dark.
So we should also mention one of the most overlooked disasters. And, you know, it's because it, you know, it wasn't like a big nuclear power plant that exploded. Right. Mm-hmm. But this happened later the same year in the U.S. Thousands of tons of radioactive waste from the largest underground uranium mine spilled from a failed dam into the North Fork of New Mexico's Pueco River. It's estimated that the disaster likely released more radiation than Three Mile Island. But do you want to take a guess why this one did not probably get as much media attention?
Well, I hadn't heard of this before, but I'm guessing because of New Mexico, Pueco River. I imagine it's the same reason that we don't care about oil pipelines polluting indigenous waters. Probably affected indigenous community.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a recurrent theme. Poor communities, color, where we like to dump our nuclear waste, pollution.
Right. We talked about this in the ocean and climate justice episodes, I believe. But the spill from the United Nuclear Corporation's Church Rock Mill contaminated land and water used by members of the Navajo Nation. Mm. It backed up sewers, affected 2 aquifers, and sent contaminants as far as 80 miles downstream. So state and national officials, unfortunately, but not surprisingly, downplayed the incident because it primarily affected a rural, sparsely populated, majority American Indian area. Mm-hmm. At least that was what, you know, especially the Navajos felt like that's what was happening.
Yeah.
When the Navajo Tribal Council sent a telegram to the governor of New Mexico asking him to declare a state of emergency, he refused. And the big problem with that is, had he done that, they would have received a lot more federal aid money to help clean up and help with like the health effects. So they had to spend their own money. Prior to the spill, Navajo members used the riverside for recreation and herb gathering, and children often waded in the river. Residents who waded in the river after the spill went to the hospital because, again, they didn't know it was contaminated, complaining of burning feet and were misdiagnosed with heat stroke.
You get uranium poisoning.
So I go to the hospital and I'm like, my feet are burning. And they're like, you have heat stroke. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So some of these burns from the contaminated water developed into serious infections and had their limbs had to be amputated.
Yeah.
The company, United Nuclear Corporation, was forced to help, financially assist, especially since the federal government wouldn't give anything. So they distributed 600-gallon jugs of clean water, but the affected area required more than 30,000 U.S. gallons. Mm. So not only did the Navajo Nation lose their access to water, it wasn't being replaced because they also had to close the 3 community wells, one because of high radium levels and the other 2 for high levels of iron and bacteria. Mm. So the Navajo Nation spent $100,000 on clean water. And in 1981, the New Mexico and federal governments stopped providing any extra assistance.
Yeah,
they were given a little bit, but they're like, hey, we're pulling this back. you know, which they had been delivering some water mm-hmm. by truck. They weren't financially like helping with a cleanup and everything, yeah. but they were giving some water. Mm-hmm. So the health risk was also from eating exposed cattle. Mm. And the federal government actually did spend money on researching radiation contamination in livestock. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the report, they were like, well, as long as they don't eat the cattle, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, but the Navajo Nation depended on the cattle as a food source. Mm-hmm. So a few Navajo children were sent to Los Alamos to be checked for radiation exposure, but no long-term monitoring was undertaken, mm-hmm. prompting one local writer to comment that the federal government spent more effort studying livestock than actual people affected at this mm-hmm. time. No mm-hmm. ongoing epidemiological studies have been done at Church Rock, and studies have shown since the 1950s, even before this, that the Navajo have had significantly higher rates for some cancers than the national average. Mm-hmm. And some of this is associated with contamination from the uranium mines and exposure of the workers to the radiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned Chernobyl and Three Mile Island.
Yes.
As meltdowns.
Yes.
And Fukushima.
That's
is
number
the
one
only,
and number two. Yeah,
is the only other
yes.
nuclear meltdown.
Yeah.
And as you said, it happened in Japan.
Yes.
Which is a country with a history of nuclear disasters. You know, we dropped two atomic bombs.
Yes.
On Japan. And you know that we can't do an episode on nuclear disasters.
I know.
Talking.
I was only yeah. laughing because I knew mm-hmm. it was coming. I'm yeah, not laughing know, at Hiroshima. Yeah.
No, of course not. Yeah. But you know what's coming. We can't do an episode on nuclear disasters yes. without talking about Godzilla and nuclear disaster. Yes. And Godzilla yes. is a, you know, Americanized term for Gojira, which is the Japanese
right.
name of the film.
Yes.
And a fun fact, that's actually a combination of the Japanese words for gorilla and whale.
I did not know
yep,
that.
That's where the word Godzilla comes from, just mushing yeah. together Japanese words for a gorilla and whale.
A gorilla whale. Okay, mm-hmm. kind of makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
But Godzilla was created from nuclear testing. I almost said nuclear there. Nuclear testing and destroyed Tokyo.
Yes.
And particularly if you've seen that original Godzilla movie, black and white, like the yeah. first big scene is like the fishing boat scene. Godzilla destroys fishing, but you don't actually see Godzilla, but like
yeah.
there's like a flash of light and the like fishermen scream and the, you know, like the boat's destroyed.
Yeah.
But that was actually inspired by a real incident.
Yes.
That scene, the Lucky Dragon 5 incident.
Yeah.
So that was a Japanese fishing boat that wandered into a nuclear testing zone.
Oh,
Americans
geez.
Were,
yeah.
you know, testing nuclear weapons. There was some miscommunication about the, you know, blast areas. So this fishing boat,
right.
like they're about 100 miles away. They actually see
yeah.
the explosion. They actually see the light from the blast.
Yes.
And then several hours later, you know, they're like cleaning up the, you know, nuclear ash, or the atomic ash
yeah.
from the radiation cloud that's like, you know, covering their deck, and they experienced extreme radiation burns, poisoning. There were no immediate casualties from that, but
yeah.
most of the crew of that ship died in their 40s and 50s from
yeah.
cancer
yeah,
and other
absolutely.
You know, related things. So yeah. there was, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Lucky
right.
Dragon 5, and then Fukushima.
Yes.
So we did an episode on dark tourism.
Yes.
And there's the Netflix show on dark tourism.
Yes.
So, like, there's a scene where there are, like, a bunch of these tourists are, like, going to
yes.
go to the exclusion zone, the
blast yes,
site.
Because tourists go to Chernobyl mm. also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, you've seen this, but they're like yeah. all on the bus and they've got like these, you know, Geiger counters, and the local tour guide, you know, one of them's asking like, you know, what like levels of radiation should we be worried about? And he's like,
right.
well, I would say if you're living here about, you know, 0.2. So,
yes.
you know, then the scene like shows their Geiger counter, it's like 0.16, and you're like,
yes.
oh, okay.
Okay,
and
we're
it like
close.
Cuts to the next scene,
yeah.
and it shows the Geiger counter, it's like yellow and red yeah. and beeping and flashing,
yeah.
and it like the levels are at 2, so it's
yes.
like 0.2 is safe, and then it's like 2,
yes.
and then it goes up like to 7, yes. 8, 9.7, yes. and like people start putting on
yeah.
face masks,
yeah.
like
that's going to help yeah. them yeah.
protect you from
it becomes chaos,
radiation.
And then they won't mm-hmm. get off the bus, mm-hmm. and then
yeah,
yeah.
They, like they all vote to stop the bus and go home, so like
yes.
they turn around and they all vote and they go home, so that like they didn't even make it to the side. Everybody was like
right.
which I don't blame them. I would
yeah.
be like
yeah,
yeah. nope. Mm-mm. No thank you.
The disaster at Fukushima in 2011 was caused by an earthquake, so the largest right. ever earthquake recorded in Japan triggered a tsunami that mm-hmm. hit the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, and during the emergency things worked for a while,
mm-hmm.
so like they had safety mechanisms in place. And so each of the three operational nuclear reactors at the plant shut down like they were supposed to. But the backup power and cooling systems, which, you know, keep things from melting and catching on fire, failed.
Right. And I mean, this is kind of like less than, or not less than, but like less attention than Chernobyl or Three Mile Island, because with those, that was, it was just the nuclear meltdown. But here you've got like the tsunami and the earthquake, and this is just a small piece of a devastating, huge natural event.
Right, absolutely.
So anyway, nuclear disasters, the possibility of us creating a Godzilla from a nuclear disaster seems like a good reason not to use nuclear power.
Yes.
So should we just like avoid it, get rid of it? No nuclear power, no nuclear disasters.
Yeah, so there was a pretty robust anti-nuclear movement during the 1970s, beginning in the 1970s, and it lasted to about like 1995 until we started learning about climate change and the fact that we're essentially killing the planet. So this sparks, of course, what we're in now, which is sort of a clean energy transition. We're trying to shift energy production away from sources that release a lot of greenhouse gases or to those that release little or no greenhouse gases. While coal provides more than a third of our global electricity generation, nuclear power can actually fill the void as we close down coal plants, and it can also provide power in all kinds of weather conditions to complement wind and solar, whose electricity generation at any time depends on the weather. So proponents of nuclear power as our primary energy source say, you know, it's safe, sustainable, safe unless something goes wrong. Or unless you produce a Godzilla. So it's a sustainable energy source that reduces carbon emissions, which we did talk about in our climate justice episode. Nuclear power generation causes one of the lowest levels of fatalities per unit of energy generated compared to coal, gas, and petroleum. So Ontario, Canada is an example about how you can use, you know, a combination. In this case, it's a combination of like mainly nuclear and hydropower to be like carbon neutral. So they've been coal free since 2014. After the 2011 disaster, more safety regulations, more international regulations were assessed, you know, but countries due to climate change are considering again that we need to build more facilities and to use more nuclear power. The U.S. produces the most nuclear energy in the world, with nuclear power providing 20% of the electricity that the U.S. consumes.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed it was that high.
I think most people don't, because they think of us as like primarily coal, but you have to think about how large of a country we are and, and you know, where all of our electricity is coming from. So France produces the highest percentage of its electrical energy from nuclear reactors, and it's a little bit over than 70%. So nuclear power does have, you know, some opponents, if you will, because outside of the rare disaster, what are some other issues? One is this idea of proliferation. Proliferation concerns, once you have the technology, you can make weapons. So if you're thinking overall about, you know, like opponents and their like sort of negative impacts on the environment that they argue, the risk for nuclear weapons for countries that we don't want to have them. Problems associated with managing radioactive waste and not producing a Godzilla. So groundwater contamination is the biggest, and you have groundwater contamination even with uranium sites, not just with nuclear power sites, as we mentioned. The risks for accidents are also a, you know, kind of a problem. And also this, you know, kind of terrorist aspect where they worry about tax on waste storage sites or reprocessing and power plants because you know, you can kill a bunch of people that way. But most of the world's energy needs are still being supplied by oil, coal, gas, 80%. Nuclear makes up about 5% and hydro fuels at 2%. And this is just not enough to halt global warming.
So it's not like there's some big concerns, but overall nuclear energy is safe.
Well, I mean, I think... I mean, it is safer. It's kind of like now we're weighing like what, like the kind of the existential threat of climate change and destroying the whole world versus what might happen with a nuclear meltdown, which is very rare, especially after 2011, because, well, I was going to talk a little bit about this in my spin.
Well, I mean, why don't we just go ahead and wrap it up? So we're going to, we're going to wrap things up, which means it's our minute to spin it. So Tommy, in just a minute. What's your spin?
My spin is kind of a wrap up. So safety has been reassessed since 2011, especially for things like seismic activity, because that wasn't taken into consideration. Yeah. Like and it was Japan's worst or largest ever earthquake. You can't like anticipate that.
Yeah, for sure.
But for a country like France, who most of their energy comes from nuclear power, they have had few accidents and are on schedule to be carbon neutral by 2050.
Oh, nice.
So outside of the rare disaster, there are more safety concerns with contamination and proper waste disposal. Mm-hmm. So nuclear waste actually takes a really long time for it to break down.
Yeah.
But it doesn't produce a lot of waste, so you can contain it. But again, there's like the, you know, like people are concerned that terrorists will attack it. But anyway, in honor of Valentine's Day being next week, I will leave you with some lyrics from the 1970s band called Tough Darts.
Oh.
I'm not going to sing it, though. Mm-hmm. Singing's for you, not me. We've learned that. Mm. Your love is like nuclear waste. Your body is a danger to the human race. They should have stamped contaminated across your face.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I'll sing that to my Valentine next week.
Ben, what's your spin?
Contaminated across your face.
You should stamp contaminated across your face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think it was like our very first episode that was released. You said we're making this podcast for your Uncle Bob.
Yes.
And I really did have an Uncle Bob.
Yes.
Well, my Uncle Bob's brother, Uncle Hubert.
Hubert.
Yeah, he was actually a nuclear engineer.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he worked at the Savannah River plant, a nuclear plant in Aiken, South Carolina. And he made tritium and californium.
Oh.
And deuterium, heavy water.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, he's gone now.
Yes.
And I missed his funeral because of a storm. So I was like sitting on a plane waiting to go like 2 hours, got delayed. So I didn't actually get to make it to his funeral. But when I lived in South Carolina, I would go down there and like spend the weekend with him.
Mm-hmm.
We would talk about like academics and teaching. He went to Virginia Tech and he was kind of on like the cusp of like, you know, do I go on and get my PhD or do I go on the field and work?
Right.
So he kind of wanted to be an academic. So we had that in common. We talk about like teaching in college and we talk about like the Bible and theology and he'd tell me about like making tritium and making California and all this stuff. So like, you know, it was just really good times spending with him. And I would love to be able to talk to him about this podcast episode and just our podcast in general. So my spin is a shout out to my Uncle Hubert. And then to wrap it up, don't worry about no Godzilla or elephant feet. but I'm about to go nuclear. So let's go nuclear.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Library's very own Jenna Polk and Zach Williams. We have someone new with us in the podcast studio today. We'll have to add that person in there next time. We just released our 26th show and are still going strong. Yeah. Check out our website linked in the show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.